late. Our next speaker is Pat Carr, talking about continuous no-till organic wheat production, defining the limits.
All right. Well, thank you, Aaron, and thank you for attending this session. I would like to acknowledge my co-authors on this paper, Greta Gramig and Samantha Hogstad, all three of us at North Dakota State University. Samantha is a graduate student on this project. I'd like to just briefly update you on our efforts to develop a continuous no-till system, that is, where tillage is eliminated across the rotation. As Aaron and others have said, typically organic no-till is really a phase or a rotational no-till system. And as I think many of you know, and if not, those of you who have been attending this particular session now recognize, generally with field crops, much of the work has focused on corn and soybean for obvious reasons. In the Great Plains, we're very interested in no-till, whether a conventional or an organic researcher or farmer, because of its ability to conserve soil water. We typically in the Great Plains have a deficit of water, so anything we can do to conserve soil water is something that we want to adopt. Gary Peterson, who I see is in the audience, wrote a very good paper about 20 years ago now, where he summarized results of cropping systems research across the Great Plains for much of the 20th century. Some of these obviously were organic systems. If you go back long enough, some of these were not, but the story was very, very similar. And as you can see, as tillage operations were reduced from as many as 10 to as few as 0, i.e. adoption of no-till, stored soil water increased, precipitation use efficiency, that's the column on the right, increased, and the bottom line was yields increased from 16 to 40 bushels per acre with wheat. So given that, what we're attempting to do at Dickinson in West North Dakota is develop a continuous no-till system. Really, it's a mimic of the conventional system where tillage is simply eliminated across the cropping system. To do this, we put in place a study where we have three different tillage systems represented, a conventional or a clean till system, a reduced till system, and a true no-till system. We have termed this our long-term organic tillage systems study, or LOT study. Okay, now within or across each of those three tillage systems, we have a five-year rotation represented, where we start with a hairy vetch cover crop, and then that's terminated using tillage in the tilled to two tilled systems, and with the roller crimper that many of you are familiar with and all of you have probably heard about now, in our no-till system. And then we direct seed into that killed cover crop mulch in the no-till system, winter wheat. And then we harvest the winter wheat for grain, and then we follow that when conditions allow with a cover crop cocktail. Whether or not we're able to establish that cover crop cocktail, we do graze that in the no-till system in the fall prior to freeze-up with sheep. In the tilled system, we use tillage to suppress weeds. We're attempting to use sheep to suppress weeds in the no-till system. In year three, we plant proso millet for grain prior to planting the millet, which we seed in North Dakota in late May, basically. We bring the sheep in again to try to suppress the weeds in the no-till system. Of course, we till the plots in the tilled system, and then we plant the millet. Harvest the millet for grain, and then we follow that with a winter rye cover crop. But again, between the time we harvest the millet and we plant the winter rye, we bring the sheep in again to graze, to suppress weeds. Year four, we roll and crimp the winter rye cover crop, just as we had done the hairy vetch cover crop in the no-till system. Till the rye in the tilled systems, and then we plant navy bean. And harvest the navy bean that fall. And then in year five, we plant a field pea in the spring. We harvest that field pea. We harvest that typically in about mid-July in North Dakota. Gives us a little winter to once bring the sheep in to try to suppress weeds, and then we follow that with the hairy vetch cover crop, and it repeats. Picture's worth a thousand words, they say. So on the top, as you can see to your left, that's continuous till in 2012, and that's what the no-till in 2012 plot looked like, one of them. The tillage plots are arranged in a randomized complete block. Treatments are replicated five times. Okay, You can see already, I think, in 2012, and this will be the second year of the continuous no-till system, there's a little bit of green that's starting to creep into the no-till plots. Okay? Now, on the bottom, you can see what a continuous till plot looked like in 2015 and what the no-till plot looked like in 2015. And if you look hard, you might be able to see a wheat plant in that no-till plot in 2015, but you got to look pretty darn hard. You can see some volunteering rye. There is some volunteering vetch. We also have had consistent problems terminating cover crops using the roller crimper, even after we roll and crimp multiple times. Actually, the continuous till plot, there is some flix weed. You see that above the wheat canopy, but that's actually a very good organic stand of winter wheat. In terms of analyses, I use PROC mixed and then the PDIP option to separate treatment means. Here's what we all like to see are the numbers. Quickly, to orient yourselves, where the you see the small letters that are different. Those represent a significant difference at the P less than 0.05 level in tillage treatment means. Across the rows, which I'm really not going to talk too much about, where you see the capital letters that are different, that indicates a significant difference in treatment means across years. The bottom line is, in terms of a grain yield for wheat, we have seen a consistent yield drag each year that we've had the no-till system in place. I guess if you're an optimist, you'd say, well, 2012 and 2013 weren't as bad as 2014 and 2015. As you can see, by year five of the continuous no-till system, that's actually year four of the wheat, where the wheat is in place, but it's year five of the no-till system, it really begins to fall apart. And by 2015, we actually have seen a reduction in yield of about 90% in our continuous no-till system versus the tilled systems. In terms of grain protein content, and Rick Ingalls would appreciate these numbers, really didn't see a lot of difference in terms of grain protein effects of tillage system, with the exception of 2014, where once again we saw significant reduction in grain protein in the no-till system versus the tilled systems. But if you look at 2014 and 2015 grain protein concentrations, they're low across the board, basically. So we are running into obviously we have a nitrogen deficiency problem that has developed. We've had a lot of challenges, and you don't want to, especially so close to lunch, you don't want to get me talking about them, but one problem we have had is our heavy hairy vetch overwintering successfully. Some years we've had very good winter survival of hairy vetch. Other years we have not, and I think that partially explains why we're running into the nitrogen deficiency problems. 2011, as you can see, this is moving 2011-2012. Very good hairy vetch survival, cover crop survival, and we produced a fair amount of hairy vetch in terms of cover crop mulch. Now 2015, actually, this past growing season was another year where we had very good hairy vetch survival. You do see some of that rye, which has been we were unable to kill earlier, starting to pop up. There is some hairy vetch volunteering previously, but we did have pretty good winter survival of hairy vetch. What I don't have up here is 2012, 2013, 2013, 2014, or 2014, 2015, and that's when we had very good hairy vetch winter kill. Now this is biomass, but this will give you some idea. 2013, coming into the 2013 season, we had about 90% hairy vetch winter kill. So I thought in the spring, oh my goodness, it's not going to work. So we ran out and planted some pea in the spring to try to give us some level of biomass. You can see the levels we got. It's not that great. I mean, it's 3,000 kilograms per hectare isn't a whole lot of biomass. But by golly, we're starting to produce a fair amount of weed biomass. 2014, we had the same problem, although this year we had about 95%, 96% hairy vetch winter kill. And you can see the amount of hairy vetch biomass in 2014. That no-till system, it's less than 1,000 kilograms per hectare. That's not going to suppress anything. And I think that's also starting to reflect this buildup that we're starting to see in our no-till system with weeds. Much better production of weed biomass, though, in 2014, which reflects a very healthy and growing weed population in those no-till plots in particular. Now, 2015, where I said we did have pretty good hairy vetch survival, you can see the amount of biomass produced by the hairy vetch cover crop, and for us, that's pretty good. You know, we're talking over, well, 5,500 to 6,500 kilograms per hectare of hairy vetch biomass. That's a good amount for us, but we have this weed population that has become established in our no-till plots, and it's a problem. You know, if you go to this is a paper published a long time ago by John Teasdale, there have been others, but we need a lot of biomass to suppress weeds, just like you do in places like North Carolina, and we haven't come close to that in many, many years. These are hairy vetch plant density counts, again, just to give you some ideas to what our vetch stands look like. I just have a couple years here. 2013, 2014, that was a year where we had a lot of winter kill. You can see in the spring we got less than 10 hairy vetch plants per square meter. The plant density just is not there to produce much biomass. It's not going to suppress weeds. 2014, 2015, you can see this past growing season, a very good survival of hairy vetch. Obviously, we had some hairy vetch that had not germinated the previous fall, which came up this spring, but pretty good plants, density of hairy vetch, and a fair amount of biomass that was produced. So if you look at our data, at best, we've been able to achieve about 50% of the wheat yield in our continuous no-till system when it's first couple years there relative to the conventional till organic system. By year six of the continuous no-till system, we're producing less than 10% of the grain yield when we grow wheat versus the tilled organic system. And I'm sure a lot has to do with me. But some Canadians have been doing the same kind of thing. We kind of share notes, and they did publish a paper recently. Basically, we all are finding a similar thing in the Northern Great Plains, is by the time you get to about year five or year six, the continuous organic no-till system falls apart. The weed pressure is just too great, and you know, we don't have that nice hammer that we can knock down those perennial weeds and some of those other weeds, and the system it just falls apart. So what they found, they did do better than us, but by year five, their organic no-till system was basically producing about a third of what they could produce in their conventional organic tilled system. They were able to produce more cover crop biomass than we were. They're using, again, a polyculture, a barley vetch, a polyculture, but by the time they got to the spring, they were growing spring wheat versus winter wheat, what we've been attempting to do in North Dakota. You know, they had less than 5,000 kilograms per hectare of biomass when they were planting that spring crop, and it's just not going to be enough to suppress weeds. So, as I said, we've had a lot of challenges we've been able to identify. A big one is lack of consistency in hairy vetch and winter survival in the Northern Great Plains. I wish we had a hairy vetch breeder at NDSU. I've been told we're probably not going to get one anytime soon, so I'm not holding my breath. But it is a problem with some of the cover crops and the choices that we have. You know, we just don't have breeders, many working on them anyway, and so we've got this material and we think we've got something that works, and then we have a more typical North Dakota winter, and it's tough. And by years four or five of the wheat, or five or six, if you count back to when we have the hairy vetch cover crop established of a continuous no-till system, it seems to pretty much fall apart. So thanks for listening. Stay tuned, and I'll, you know, we're going to tweak the system, and maybe I can come back in a couple years and talk about how successful we've been. But thank you.